Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, January 13th. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Larico. For decades in the U.S., it was illegal to grow hemp. Now the federal government is investing in the crop, but it's taking time for the supply chain and market to emerge.
There's a lot of chicken and egg here. I mean, that's the term you hear in this industry all the time.
The reintroduction of hemp in U.S. agriculture, that's coming up on The Gateway. Planned Parenthood Great Rivers has picked political organizer and healthcare advocate Margot Riphagen to lead the St. Louis-based organization. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports the hire comes from within the organization.
Riphagen's been the organization's vice president of external affairs since April 2024. She was a leader in the coalition of abortion rights supporters that spearheaded the campaign for Amendment 3. The ballot initiative placed the right to an abortion in the Missouri Constitution. The new CEO says she'll keep working to restore access to the procedure in Missouri. Planned Parenthood's not providing abortions as some statewide clinic regulations are still in effect.
My goal is to continue this fight, to amplify this fight, to bring and to continue bringing in the voices of Missouri voters that overwhelmingly passed Amendment 3.
Riphagen succeeds Yamelcy Rodriguez, who stepped down from the role last winter. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The number of fatal drug overdoses in Missouri went down for the first time in nearly a decade in 2023, according to the latest data from the Department of Health and Senior Services. There were around 1,950 overdose deaths that year. Health officials credit the approximately 10% decrease in deaths in part due to the availability of the overdose reversal drug naloxone. Michelle Charbonnier is the executive director of the Addiction Treatment and Outreach Center, MO Network. She says the organization distributes about 100,000 doses of naloxone a month. She says it's harder for people outside cities to access.
The people who use drugs definitely carry it. Less so in rural communities because they don't have organizations like us where they can go pick it up.
Naloxone became available over the counter nationwide in 2023. Venice, Madison, and Granite City in the Metro East should be included in a federal program to compensate victims of radiation exposure. That's the argument an Illinois congresswoman and city leaders are making. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
Like her Missouri counterparts, Democratic U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski wants to include a portion of her district in the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. It pays residents who've been exposed to radiation from the nation's atomic weapons program. A former Dow Chemical facility in the Metro East processed uranium and thorium in the 50s and 60s. Larry Bergen worked at the facility years later and says the radiation has been an equal opportunity poison.
Everyone, everywhere is at risk. And the sooner we reduce that risk and stop the contamination and health problems in this community, the safer everyone everywhere will be.
So far, Illinois and Missouri lawmakers haven't been able to convince their colleagues in Congress to expand the program locally. Budzinski says she'd like to add the areas to upcoming federal legislation. In Venice, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth says President-elect Donald Trump's defense secretary nominee is the most unqualified pick ever for the role. The second-term Democrat said on Friday she'll have more questions for Pete Hegseth than she'll be able to ask during this week's confirmation hearings.
Being Secretary of Defense is a very serious job, and putting someone as dangerously unqualified as Mr. Hegseth into that role is something that should scare all of us.
Duckworth's objection isn't surprising. The former Army helicopter pilot has been an outspoken critic of Hegseth since Trump announced his nomination. Particularly, Duckworth believes the former Fox News host and Army major doesn't have enough high-level military experience to lead the Department of Defense, the largest organization in the federal government. 2024 was the second warmest year on record in St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
9 of the 10 warmest years on the books in St. Louis have happened since 1990. These recent warm years are part of a trend, says Zach Leeser, Missouri's state climatologist.
It is climate change in that we've really seen over the past 30 to 40 years this warming trend.
Leeser says Missouri also saw both drought and extreme precipitation last year. At a global level, 2024 surpassed 2023 to become the warmest year on record. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis City SC's new head coach says he's impressed by what he has seen from the team's fans. Olaf Melberg says he watched every one of the Major League Soccer team's games from last year, and he noticed an engaged fan base that paid close attention.
I think that's not always the case in the MLS. You have a lot of cheering fans, but not all of them are proper football fans. But you really get the feeling that they're following the game.
Melberg comes to St. Louis after coaching in Sweden and a long playing career, including the English Premier League and the Swedish national team. City SC's preseason training starts today. The federal government is investing millions of dollars into projects that involve growing hemp. It's a crop they think can help the climate and create revenue for farmers. But as Harshan Ratanpal reports, there's a lot of work to do before its potential can be realized.
Hemp is baked into the literal fiber of America. It was an important commodity for the early colonies and nation, and throughout the Revolutionary War, naval forces relied on strong, durable fiber made from hemp for rope and sail canvas. Production waned by the 20th century as substitutes like cotton gained a market foothold. Then anti-drug advocates targeted its psychoactive variety, marijuana, in sensational propaganda like the 1936 film Tell Your Children.
Just a young boy. Under the influence of the drug, he killed his entire family with an axe.
All varieties of cannabis were effectively banned the next year, and hemp has been mostly absent from farmers' fields since then. But the 2018 Farm Bill created a legal distinction between industrial hemp and marijuana. And in 2022, the U.S. Department of Agriculture gave money to researchers around the country to study hemp. Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri, received $5 million. So now, hemp is back. Rows of green and brown hemp wave in the wind on one of the university's farms. They're all different varieties of the plant that hail from across the world. They're of different sizes and shapes, some stretching far beyond arm's reach, while others just meet the hip. Joshua Esiyama and a team of his fellow grad student researchers are collecting the hemp before they bundle it and send it to a lab. He came to the U.S. from Ghana with an interest in studying legumes, but hemp quickly caught his attention.
I found it as exciting because I may be part of the forefront of people who worked on this hemp after it's been opened from the band that was on. So I think it's more like being part of something big, something new.
The team develops variants and growing practices that are appropriate for local soils and weather. While hemp is finally legal again, Babu Valiodin, the head of Lincoln's Hemp Institute, says there's a lack of data on genetics, which means a lot of ground-up work has to be done to figure out how to best grow hemp.
We need the best superior genetics for Midwest and for the country too. So we have to develop our own variety.
They want that variety to be good at sequestering carbon. Valiodin says scientists suspected that hemp could naturally hold in more carbon than other crops, keeping more planet-warming CO2 from entering the atmosphere. That's a big reason why there was an interest in studying it.
We have some preliminary results say that this plant can fix more carbon dioxide than other crops, and it can put more carbon to the soil.
Lincoln is focused on growing hemp that can be used for fiber and grain. It can end up in livestock bedding, animal feed, and even construction. Valiodin says they're also converting hemp oil into a biofuel that can be used for heating and transportation. But because there's a lot of work to do before all of that comes to fruition, that means the cost and risk of farming it can be high. There are also bottlenecks with the processors, or the lack of them. Midwest Natural Fiber in Southeast Missouri, which transforms hemp into usable materials for manufacturers, is a partner on the project. CEO Patrick Van Meter says his company is one of the only hemp processors in the region. And that's a symptom and cause of low hemp production. It can be costly for farmers to work with a faraway processor, and local companies can't go into business or scale up operations if there isn't enough hemp.
There's a lot of chicken and egg here. I mean, that's the term you hear in this industry all the time.
And it's similar for the next step in the supply chain. Companies don't want to incorporate hemp into their products if there isn't a consistent supply of processed material. But what's important to Van Meter is that there is consumer demand.
You know, I'm firmly convinced that the market's there if you can figure out all the front-end stuff.
Lincoln University hopes that in 3 to 5 years, they'll have developed new variants fit for growing hemp in the Midwest, and farmers will finally be able to bring back the plant that's so rooted in this country's history. I'm Harshon Ratanpal in Columbia, Missouri.
That story is a product of the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan Ulm, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.